Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon this morning is the gospel lesson, especially verses 5 and 6. And he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief. This is the text. And so the saying goes, only in his own town, among his relatives, in his own house, only there is a prophet without honor. And you've heard the modern version that goes, an expert is anyone who comes from more than an hour away. And that's part of the difficulty. Part of the difficulty, however, also is that God doesn't seem to want to stay more than an hour away. And yet human nature, right from the beginning, the first set of brothers, Cain and Abel, there was that brotherly jealousy. There was not wanting a brother to outdo a brother. We don't like to look up to those who are one of us or our neighbors or in our own family. But think about what God the Son, second person of the Trinity, has chosen to do is to become our brother in order to win salvation. And so on our journey through Scripture, we come through Deuteronomy, where God says through Moses, God will raise up from among your own brothers a prophet like me. Listen to him. From our own brothers? Yes. Or in the New Testament, the letter to the Hebrews, he had to be made like his brothers in every way. And so Jesus comes to Nazareth, where he grew up, and goes to the synagogue, and, well, here we start bringing in some of the other Gospels because they report other details than Mark reports. Luke reports a much fuller version. He asks for the scroll of Isaiah, and he opens it to where the prophet says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and so on. Hands the scroll back to the attendant, sits down, and says, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. It's about the gospel. And what the gospel is about Jesus. And so, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. He must preach about himself. And as he begins to do so, he says things that are unacceptable to their ears. And this was the time when the people of Nazareth, so the other Gospels report, when the people of Nazareth tried to throw him off the cliff on which their city was built. So when Mark says he was amazed at their lack of faith, it's an understatement. And again, bringing in material from that other Gospel of Luke, it reports that Jesus slipped through their grasp and went his way. Really? How did he do that? He didn't become invisible. One of the commentaries says it this way. It was as in Gethsemane when the multitude came to lay hands on him, and when he answered them, they fell to the ground at his words. It was a ray of his majestic power which broke through the garb of his humanity. Where Mark says he did not do many miracles because of their unbelief, this is the miracle he left with them. something to remember him by. But it's not the miracle you want to be remembering Jesus by if you are the people of Nazareth. The miracle you don't want is of Jesus slipping through your grasp and leaving. That's not a good miracle. It's a miracle of judgment. It's a miracle that calls you to repentance, and you'd better repent very quickly. It is a miracle of God's word leaving you. And that is the miracle that Jesus left with them. And so the people of Nazareth go on about their business, searching for the kingdom of God. Pay no attention to that kingdom of God that was standing right in their midst. Pay no attention to the words of Scripture that was put into their ears. Pay no attention to that it is Jesus, the Son of God, who was there among them. Pay no attention to all of that. Go searching for the kingdom of God somewhere else. Is that not part of the history of the world? That Jesus came into our world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light. He came to his own received him not. His word has been spread through the whole world, and people are still saying, but where's the kingdom of God? Where's the kingdom of God? How do we find God? How do we make our way to God? How do we earn salvation? And there he was. And there he is. And there his word still is and still echoes and still rings through our world. And yet people say, where are we to find the kingdom of God? And they go searching, chasing after other things. Is the kingdom of God in this? Is it in that? Is the kingdom of God found in learning Eastern religious meditative practices? Oh, that's around. Is the kingdom of God in a gospel that promises wealth and prosperity? Well, that's a little closer to home. Is the kingdom of God found in whatever I want the kingdom of God to be like? I spent 5 years as a campus pastor. I know what goes on in the universities. I have my own spirituality. I don't believe in organized religion. Ah, yes, okay. Friday night, chasing after co-eds. That's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God comes with hands and feet to walk among us, to receive nails, to receive a crown of thorns, to receive the judgment that we deserve. That's the kingdom of God that comes among us. So here's the kingdom of God. Here's the kingdom of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God comes to you in the words of Jesus. That's the kingdom of God. It's time to revisit Deuteronomy. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven and get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it, nor is it beyond the sea so that we have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so you may obey it. That's the kingdom of God. The word of God that gets spoken among us and put into our ears and then into our hearts and then is on our lips. That's the kingdom of God. Oh, and the kingdom of God happens right over there, including last week when we brought that child there and I got to pour some water and say, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God comes to us in the name and the promises and the water and the word of God. And the kingdom of God comes to you this day. when you come to the communion rail and you have a piece of bread placed on your tongue and the words joined with it, "This is my body." And then when you have a sip of wine given to you and it's joined with words from God, "Shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. And it is poured over you, it is put in your ears, and it is placed on your tongue so that you may taste and see that the Lord is good. And this is the kingdom of God right here among us. But the kingdom of God involves some things that are very serious. Not all joy and happiness and light and butterflies and rainbows, as someone says. The kingdom of God involves someone bleeding and dying and being laid in a tomb. Because the kingdom of God involves God's kingdom coming to you, including coming to your sin. And no matter how much you want to get around that and come into the kingdom of God without having to mess with sin and judgment, you can't do it. There's no way that you can come to God as anything than what you are, namely a sinner standing under the word and judgment of God, but also a sinner standing under the word of God that promises forgiveness for sinners. And so the kingdom of God comes to you in his invitation. Come as sinners. Come as sinners who are judged by the law of God. Come as sinners judged by the law of God, but then declared forgiven by the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the kingdom of God. And if that is what Jesus was preaching about in the synagogue at Nazareth that day, preaching about sin and forgiveness, about judgment and salvation, well, you can see why people would take offense. Why would they want to hear any more than people in our day that they were sinners? And so, confronted with the kingdom of God, they turn and they confront the kingdom of God. Standing there in flesh, speaking, breathing, holding the scroll of Isaiah, and then talking to them. They confront the kingdom of God and will not have it. They see, but they will not see. So here comes the second lesson. The kingdom of God is nothing else than Jesus. He is the kingdom in his own flesh, embodying in his own flesh everything that the kingdom is. He is God for us, Emmanuel. He's it. He is the one who does miracles and teaches salvation, who endures suffering in our place. He is it. He is the one born for us, living for us, who died and rose for us, who will return one day for us. And we will one day get to see with our own eyes the kingdom of God and reach out with our hands and touch the kingdom of God and be received by the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ, into eternal life that is a part of the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is nothing else than Jesus himself and being connected to him. And he has chosen to join himself with us how many ways. Being born for us, giving his word to us, speaking his name upon us, and his water poured over us, giving his body and his blood to us, giving us the promise of eternal life that we will be with him forever. Well, he's the one that said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The kingdom of God right here, in this place, in this hour. And he is the one that said, and behold, I am with you to the very end of the age. The kingdom of God, there for you to hold on to know that it is forever. And if you have this kingdom of God, this Jesus, and he is indeed eternal, then you have eternal life. Kingdom of God here among us, for us to receive, for us to talk with him, for us to hear that he loves us, for us to bring our prayers and have them answered, for us to bring our sins and have them forgiven, for us to bring our doubts and have Jesus, the shepherd of our souls, watch over us and strengthen our faith. For us to come in weakness and receive his strength, to come in hunger and be fed by him, to come unclean and be washed by him. The kingdom of God. And may God grant us always that we may receive him as our everything. In Jesus' name, amen.